Hello, listeners. If you like this show, please go to iTunes and subscribe. Rate and review our show. Thanks.
We've got two awesome sponsors, including Pizza Now and Complete Ag Resolutions, in case your tractor hits a cow. It's a TagCast podcast.
Wait.
And now, once again, it's time for the TagCast podcast with Terry and Gatch.
Can I be getting paid for this, boys?
The TagCast podcast starts right now.
I forgot to speed it up. But
oh, yeah, you did.
The vocals sound okay, though.
Yeah.
How do they do that?
Oh.
Maybe they're doing a Ween thing and speeding up the vocal.
Oh, this is a TagCast. Wait a minute. No, it's not. This is Terry and Gatch comedy show.
It's still a TagCast production.
It is.
Coming to you live from the TagCast studios.
Number 59.
Yeah, they tuned down a little bit for this song, didn't they?
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for this album to be available free somewhere, because it's on sale at Target for $8.
Right on.
I might go buy it, but
yeah.
You think it'd be censored like a Walmart version?
Yeah, you'd be scared. What you should do is you should order it on Amazon and then misplace it for years.
For years.
Like I did.
Okay, that's cool.
Like I did with Them Crooked Vultures.
Them Crooked Vultures. But yeah, I have a couple free places that I get my music from sometimes when I'm feeling poor. Uh-huh. And I can't. This one is being protected pretty heavily. So good for you guys. They want you to go out and buy it so much that it's only maybe $8.99, but there was definitely an $8 in there.
Yeah.
So
and it's worth it, you know.
It's like clockwork, man.
Yeah. You can, you know, I don't know if you've seen that Sound City movie.
No, man, I want to get that
but
and see
I haven't
it.
Either, and I was Everybody checking it out on awesome. Amazon the other day, but I just wasn't, you know, I mean, I know I'm going to enjoy it when I watch it.
You can get it on iTunes for Super Tube, too. You know?
Yeah.
Here, we're plugging everybody.
Yeah.
Hey. Happy Monday, you guys, anyway.
Yeah. We must be pretty close, hitting like, getting close to 200 episodes, right? Yeah.
Well, I think we're in the 170s, I think.
Yeah, so we're, you know, I mean, you think Cheers only did, what, like 200 episodes? I remember they had the 200 episode special.
Seinfeld did 200 episodes, I think.
And those were only half an hour.
Yeah, so we gotcha.
Yeah.
You know, I found a cool book that I forgot to mention, I think. When we every year when we go to the country fair.
You buy a book.
No, you get it for free. It's a library. Oh. You check it out.
Ah.
Due date next year.
All right.
And so it's this community outdoor library where somebody comes and stocks these shelves full.
Wow.
Yeah, outdoor library. It's pretty cool. There's benches and there's a little stage for a puppet show.
So they let stocking on there go on?
Yeah, they come in and stock the shelves.
Yep.
And then I stock the books.
Uh-huh.
And I found a couple cool books for Jaden. One was Bert and Ernie Sesame Street Visits the Firehouse.
Wow.
Which is cool. I didn't even know that band was around back then. But they taught them how to do rock poses and stuff. You know. And then I found this really thick book all about the series Taxi.
No, really?
I used to watch Taxi as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Never really re-sought it out, if that's a word, re-sought. Never sought it out as an adult, and I still haven't since I read this book, but I want to now because it's tons of facts about how they ran the show, how they casted it, how these people got their gigs, and how Rhea Perlman was only on 4 episodes as Danny DeVito's girlfriend.
Yeah.
And they were actually boyfriend and girlfriend.
Huh.
And she actually had to read for the part. And how they actually had Tony Clifton on the cast as well as Andy Kaufman. And they went as far to make up separate contracts and even have a separate parking space for Tony Clifton. All along knowing that it was the same person. But the producers of the show were real nerdy and funny, and they liked they liked shit like that. So they drew up a couple contracts for Andy Kaufman.
That is fearless.
Yeah.
Fearless comedy, though, is what he did.
For sure.
Because he didn't have any qualms about going up there in fear of bombing or, you know, I mean... Well, a lot of comics don't have really a fear of bombing or whatever, but I mean, just like...
I don't think there's a lot.
Yeah, but I mean, you don't want to... If you bomb, you try to get over it rather than just kind of, like, ride the same thing, you know, even when it's bombing.
But he would just do what he did, and that's all he did, and if it went over well, it was awesome, and if not, he
If it wasn't funny, it was you, not him.
And sometimes he'd yell at the audience, because... What, you think I'm not funny? I'll wrestle you right now if you're a woman.
Yeah.
But yeah, I haven't finished the book, but it's definitely interesting. It goes in depth about the writing process and how the itinerary of the week of the filming of the show and how the script changes over the week with, you know.
Rewrites and stuff.
Yeah. So it's definitely interesting. A lot of stuff I didn't know. So thanks, Country Fair, for that. That was awesome. Mm-hmm. Also found out a little, what do I want to call it? It's kind of a bummer, I guess. We didn't even know that it happened until today. So we're camping at the country fair. We get everything all packed up. We lower down the camper. We're ready for action. And then our friend goes, oh, yeah, you guys are pretty new with the camper, right? And we're like, yeah, why? You're going to want to put all your vents down because we'd left one of the vents up.
Uh-huh.
You know, those the vents that screw up on the top of the camper. And so I had to go to all the trouble of pumping the camper halfway back up and crawling up in there and screwing down the vent.
Ah.
So then we got home, pumped up the camper, didn't think about it, got it aired out, cleaned it out. Today, I got ready to come to the podcast, went to get everything ready to lower it down, and I noticed that the sunlight was coming through in the upper vent. And so I went to go shut it, thinking Dana must have opened it to help air it out. That fucker was gone. So it must have blown off on the way home. I know it was old and it was plastic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and if we would have left it up, it definitely would have blown off, but it just sucks that I went to all that trouble to put it down, and it still blew off. So I'm going to have to visit Camping World or one of those places that sells stuff for campers and get me, because if it rains, it's like an open vent. I could duct tape a tarp, little square. It's just like the size of a record album or something.
Hmm. And if you know people in acrylics. Acrylics.
Oh, yeah, they could probably make one, huh, with like a, because it was a plastic vent cover.
Yeah, it probably had a little tab that kept it in place or whatever.
It had a little arm that when you screwed it, the arm went up and it was on a sliding mechanism.
Oh, okay.
Old school.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is, so, you know, I might have to get one for an Alaskan camper trailer, you know, might be a certain kind that you have to have, but... So that was the only bad thing that I realized that happened due to the country fair. And I don't know if I did mention it, probably, that it being one of the best that I had out of the 10 years. I saw a post on Facebook from the Oregon Country Fair saying that everyone on their staff and everyone was saying that this was literally the best year ever.
Wow.
Everyone had the most fun and there was the least drama and least problems. So, God, I hope we didn't set the bar too high.
Wow.
Next year's going to suck.
Yeah, you won't be able to reach it.
Yeah. Got to reach that bar.
Yeah. Speaking of you're borrowing, then now they have a yearly, just you check it out and you bring it back the next year?
Yeah. It's on the honor system. You can keep it for the weekend and bring it back.
Oh,
And then it also says you can take it and keep it. And maybe next year, bring a book that you're not going to read anymore and donate it. And I've got a ton of books, you know. I remember it from Seinfeld. We were talking before we started recording about old sitcoms and stuff. Maybe we'll get into that a little bit as well. But on Seinfeld, he's like, I need my books, you know. George Costanza, like, I got all my books. He's like, well, have you read it? He's like, well, yeah, I read them all. He's like, well, then why do you need them? Are they like trophies that you're setting on your shelf there? Look, I read these. Are you going to read them again and think that maybe the ending might change?
You know, a lot of people books for just...
To have on their shelf?
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, sometimes DVDs like that. I mean, have you ever enjoyed a movie so much that you bought the DVD, but you never really watched the DVD after you bought it? Even replacing
a lot, because I bought, you know, you buy those $5 DVDs. Mm-hmm. Oh, watch that. It's almost as cheap as renting one. And then, you know, I used to
especially on a Black Friday, if you've ever gone out on those. Not very often.
No, no. Used to be real anal about my DVDs and loaning them out, but over the years, everything's so available everywhere. I could watch Netflix on my phone. I should be more.
Some stuff isn't on there, like Night Court.
Yep. Night Court, yeah.
No, but what I was talking about with the borrowing thing was now libraries are expanding. They are now loaning out other things.
Record albums, I've heard vinyl.
Drums, power tools, and stuff like that.
You just check it out?
Fishing poles.
It's 2 weeks?
Which is weird, because if you had enough money to buy a $60 fishing license, you'd think you'd have at least a $20 pole.
Or you could be like me, and you could be handicapped and get a free one and be on a fixed income.
Uh-huh.
And then you're an older gentleman that might not be able to afford it. Or you might be
a guy to fish.
He could fish all day.
And give him a library with a fishing pole. Well, I don't know, man. Do you think it's viable? Because I used to go down to the library and rent CDs. You know, they'd have some good, like a... Even blues, or if you're trying to get into some sort of jazz or something, you know, and you want to check out some Miles Davis.
But you said rent, but you know,
checked it out.
Yeah, so
checked
it's free,
it
right? Libraries are still free, right? Well, I mean, you have to pay
if you
for
live
your
in
library,
the city limits, right. Most likely. But and you know, and then the DVDs, you know, you can go down there and get Alfred Hitchcock. They had the whole library of his movies if you ever wanted.
See, now that just made me have like a little. Idea. It was kind of it was kind of in my head, because you know, Jaden, he loves me to read him a couple stories right before bed, and
certainly,
he's only got a limited amount of books. Maybe I should get me a new library card for the Brownsville Library. We could go down there, and I could find out exactly what they do, what extra stuff besides books that maybe a small town library might loan out.
Like, yeah, I imagine the stuff that people have.
Like triple beam scales, maybe?
Yeah.
I need to borrow these pair of digital scales because my postage is just.
Do you have a money printing machine I can borrow?
Oh, yeah. Any of that? Could I borrow just for a while? 2 weeks. I think it used to be 2 weeks when I was a kid. I wonder if it's still, you check it out a book for 2 weeks. Is that what it is, you think?
Yeah, I think it's about 2 weeks, and then like movies are like 10 days or something. But you can rent, check out like 5 or 6.
And then it's like. 5 cents a day if you're late.
Oh, I don't know.
And then the library
police. I think they cap it.
Library police come after you.
I've kept a couple books from the library on purpose.
I've got books in my on my shelf that say property of so-and-so's library. Yeah.
I think I paid for this one, though. It was a book on writing songs. It was more method and formulaic, you know, like around the circle of fifths and stuff like that.
Right on.
You know, and so I found it to be an extremely helpful tool, and I thought, well, I'm just going to keep that. And I think I paid them like the $15 or whatever, and, you know, they may have lost out on a great book, but I paid them. And then I think usually if you're late and you bring it back, they'll just charge you like $5.
Flat rate.
Yeah. If it, you know, you had it for like
4 years.
8 months. Yeah.
I wonder if they really do have library police, because that was another Seinfeld thing.
Yeah, it's a common, actually, formulaic sitcom episode, isn't it?
I guess. Well, that was the only one I really remember.
The overdue library book and the...
Tropic of Cancer.
Yeah.
He's like, from 1971, you owe like $156.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It might have been way more than that. I can't even remember, because... My brain has problems remembering things sometimes unless they're prompted. Wow. I got to see my friend Chris Castles, who has not moved yet.
CC!
Yeah, I guess it's going to be late August now, because you got to wait for good things, I guess. Didn't get to talk to him. I talked to him, but I didn't get to talk to him. Like, hey, how's it going? Why aren't you moving? But went down to Eugene on Thursday and did that benefit show. They had some cool stuff, but I didn't have any money. It was at the Wetlands there, and I don't know if you've ever been to the Wetlands, but they have like a main bar, and then they have like a back room bar. that holds about 75 people. And that's where they had it, and it was cool because it wasn't in the main bar area where there's TVs and stuff and people talking and playing pool and stuff. Apparently that's the room where Drew from the Donkey Show has his monthly showcase called Fat Camp Comedy there at the Wetlands. But it was a cool show, another clean comedy show that I kind of had to try to be clean. And then they told me it was squeaky clean. And I was like, well, what's the difference between clean and squeaky clean? No cussing, no sex references, and no drug references.
So squeaky clean's when kids are present, and clean's just adults.
Adults that don't want to hear the F word.
Yeah, or
and
just
shit and dick
not
jokes.
That night.
Right. And one of the ladies, she's probably 55 or 60, Melody Dodd, she dropped the S-bomb.
I can't believe she dodged that.
Yeah, I can't believe she dodged it either. It was during an improv thing, and she said something about shit, and then she went, oh, and everyone went, oh. And I was like, I looked at Leanne, and I was like, and she's like, now, just want to let everybody know that she's the only one in the improv group that almost got kicked out by the teacher a couple weeks ago for accidentally cussing. So she apparently has a potty mouth, that Melody Gordon.
Oh.
But
that must be pretty hardcore to almost get kicked out of the class for cussing, right?
Yeah, you got to keep that shit clean. But I was lucky. I went up like third, and then the crowd kind of left after the auction a little bit. The improv crew was using my material.
Oh, really?
After my set.
Oh, yeah?
So that's good to me because that means it's stuck in their brain and that's the first thing. So they had a little skit where they had five people and the leader would give them a subject and then they would each just take turns, whoever wanted to step up to the mic and...
Step up, dude.
Okay, give me an excuse. Bad excuses for not cleaning your house.
All right, it's clean enough.
That's a good one. First guy stepped up. He's like, you got two legs. Clean it yourself.
Oh!
Woo! I clapped. That was funny. Everybody clapped because everybody laughed at my joke about that before.
Uh-huh.
Next lady. Very next lady. I'm too stoned to clean my house because I did a lot of pot jokes. And I talked to Max Brockman before the show. Said, what's this squeaky clean I hear of? No drug references? And I go, pot is legal. That's medicine, right? I can talk about the legality of marijuana and the government and stuff. He's like, I'm doing my drug jokes.
You know, there's a new kid in town. That's what I'm going with.
The
trying
Eagles.
To go for, yeah. Dude, that's a crappy song, isn't it?
It is, but why'd you say that?
And then
now it's in my head. There's a new kid in town.
I was watching on news the other day. They had this lady, she's a mom, and she was at her therapist, I guess it was. I didn't pay attention to the beginning of the story, and she's like, I was sitting there telling my psychiatrist my problems and stuff, and he said, you need to smoke a joint. He sat there and rolled a joint, and I took a couple puffs, and I hadn't been happier in months. And now she's like a whole advocate, and she gets these moms together, and they're starting a little thing about how, you know, it's a good thing rather than all
just
the
druggies.
Yeah, you know. And
so what was this on?
It was like on 2020 or Nightline, one of those. And
nice.
They were having a party, and the lady was there interviewing them and stuff. And they had their, you know, volcano bags and stuff. And she's like, did any of you guys do any pot today?
Do it.
And they're like, a couple of them were like, yeah, I had to. Right before I sat down, I was so fucking nervous. You know, and our kids were saying, you know, my mom was checked out when she was on pills, and then she, even just one puff, she's smiling, she connects with the family and stuff. And
I don't know how true it is, because I've told listeners before, my friend Farmer Tape knows, John Manning, he tells me stuff that is usually true, but sometimes he tells me stuff that I'm like, could that possibly be true?
Yeah.
Well, he told me that he called it the new drug that they discovered in weed, which is not the new drug in weed, but you know, they got THC and then they got the CBCs.
The cannabinoids.
And that's what I said. I said, I can't say it, but it's cannabinoids. And so that's supposed to be
tetrahydrochloride.
Like
what? Chlorine.
tetrahydrochlorophyll. No way. Anyway, the CBCs, apparently they got some serum that they had made, these doctors did, and they injected it intravenously with the CBCs into this kid who had leukemia, and within 4 days he was completely cleared of leukemia. So John's telling me that the weed
guy could be turned into a saint. That is miracle.
Miracle weed.
That is miracle status.
I should have brought it because I think I told you about it, but I haven't been able to get anyone else to drink it. Maybe you'd take a sip. I drank some of it, that THC infused vodka that I have.
Oh, I'd take a shot.
It really tastes like Stetson. I couldn't even get Derek Terrell to take a drink of it.
Really?
He just like dabbed his finger on it like it was cologne and then licked it.
Yeah,
like,
I might do that. I'm not a big fan like of hard alcohol.
So it looks like cologne. It looks like or bourbon, but that's because it was discolored from the massive amounts of kief that he mixed in it.
Sure.
So it's supposed to be a gram of kief per shot, which is just gnarly.
That is.
But
I would try it. It depends because sometimes cheap vodka doesn't go down for me very well.
No,
like I can't hold
right
it down.
Up. Yeah, and luckily I just got like a shot and a half left, so if I did happen to drink it, it ain't gonna. That's what I keep telling myself. I could chug this all. It wouldn't make me sick. It's a shot.
Yeah.
It's a shot and a half. It's a big shot of vodka. Yeah. It's a big shot of vodka. Billy Joel. Shout out. But yeah, like I was saying before we got there, the sidetrack, Chris Castles, didn't get to talk to him because he did his set right when I got there because I did the old double dip. I did a set at the Wetlands, then cruised over to the Green Room and did a set over there. And
you penetrated both of those clubs.
Did the double dip, they call it, which is also a Seinfeld reference, but they changed it up. If you get to do comedy more than one time in a night in one city, it's called the double triple,
penetration.
Or quadruple, or even the quint dip, which is very rare. But in Portland, it can't happen. Anyway, Chris was doing his set, and he was just really angry. And he kept saying how angry he was, and then he called out a dude in the front row who's apparently a new comic who was on his phone texting while Chris was. He's like, you know what? If you're the new guy, he's a new kid in town. If you're the new kid in town, it's fucking bad news to be sitting in the front row texting on your phone while the guy who's basically running the show is doing his set. You're a dick. You're a jerk, man. And he's like, I'm just kidding. I'm fucking mad. I'm angry right now. I this is more therapy for me. I'm just going to talk. And so, I don't know. I didn't want to pry or talk to him about any of his goings-on because he just seemed angry. And he was playing it off as well as he could, but I could see the underlying anger. I don't know if he was angry. Yeah. What?
He was trying not to let it get out there, push it out there. But
he kept saying it. And then he'd whip out a couple
of... But he kind of wanted to talk about it at the same time.
Exactly. I don't want to talk about it, but listen.
Yeah.
Listen. So that was fun. I ran into Marcus from the Donkey Show when I went over to go to the Doc's pad to go to the bathroom after my set. And they had just came from the Gaffigan Show. There was a really good overflow crowd from the Gaffigan Show, which was a 7 p.m. show early.
Mm-hmm.
And I told Marcus that I did a clean comedy set over at the Wetlands, and he's like... I just watched Gaffigan do 2 hours, not one F-bomb.
Who gaffed in the first place?
Well, I don't know, but he did it again at the Holt Center. So during the Gaffigan, it made me laugh again.
Nice.
Did you ever know that Gaffigan rhymes with Laugh-again?
I put it together right before you said it.
But do you think he's ever used that? Want to laugh again? Come see Jim Gaffigan.
Maybe. Probably not.
So I said, so he did 2 hours and didn't cuss once. He's like, yeah, it was totally clean, like corporate, what they call corporate comedy for clean corporate gigs or whatever. Yeah. And I go, but, and as he was talking, I just said, Hot Pocket. And he's like, yes. He goes, we were debating during the show whether he was going to do it. It was his last bit. I go, it's his fucking Freebird. He's like, that's what Carl said. It's his Freebird. It's not 14 minutes, but that's what people want to hear it. What joke is it you want to hear?
Dude, I like his bacon into camping bit and all that kind of stuff.
He's got a lot of good shit.
He does.
But the one thing, when you say Jim Gaffigan, most people say Hot Pocket.
Yeah, Hot Pockets. It's the thing. It's the jingle, though.
Hot Pocket. Yep. He says it in his high. The audience is saying this, and it's in his head voice, which is another thing that not a lot of people do. And he'll say, this guy's weird. Is he going to talk like this the whole time, or is he going to do his set?
Yeah.
So, he's paid his dues, though. I think it was nearly sold out. At the
you
whole
say you're talking about the library book thing again? Like, he had a few, maybe a couple light years.
Light years?
Yeah, light years. He was into checking out science books.
Right on. That made me laugh again. Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah, you were talking earlier about downloading some music for free.
Yeah, I try not to do too much.
I caught up on Dexter the other day.
For free?
Yeah, for free.
From a torrent?
No. Well, from one
this
of those
movie
sites.
This movie isn't free, Mr. Torrance.
So, yeah, and they're very nice.
You can't download The Shining on a torrent, Mr. Torrance.
It's interesting. I don't know if you ever kept up on that show.
No, I only watched like the first three or four episodes of season one.
Yeah.
And the fucking Gloria Estefan music just killed. I couldn't handle it.
Oh, the Miami.
Ding, 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 ding. Like,
yeah.
At least three times per episode, they go into like almost a 30-second to 1-minute clip of Florida music.
Crazy, it is weird.
Crazy Floridians.
Yeah. You have any crazy Floridian stories this week?
I do. I gotta find it, though, because like I told you, I'm all fucked up.
Did you know the Amish people, instead of the internet, they have a directory of Amish people?
Really?
Yeah. It's a thick book. And if you meet somebody like at an Amish function, you can go to this book where you got a home, and you can look it up, and it'll tell you how many brothers and sisters they have, the name of their father, the name.
What?
Yeah, it's a stalking manual.
Weird.
Yeah.
Dude, that's kind of scary. I wonder if they have that for other people besides Amish. I heard a joke by somebody, and it wasn't that funny. Oh, it was Zach Galifianakis on that Saturday Night Live. I was trying to watch that because you said
thought he's...
Yeah. He sort of has a beard, and he kind of drives a cart. He's
Amish.
It seems like it should be Amish-ish.
Yeah.
That would have been funnier, yeah. I thought.
Amish-tar.
But what do I know?
Yeah,
so,
did you know...
What?
There was a... I watched the Amish show again the other day, and there was one of the guys on there, and... He looked up at the Ten Commandments on the wall at his farmhouse, and he said, "Those are all the Ten Commandments. My favorites, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, is probably a close second."
That's
fucking hilarious, isn't
it?
Yeah,
that's pretty funny. It also depends on his delivery as well, which probably made it better.
Yeah, it's like all Pennsylvania kind of stuff, backwoods, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, well, we're going to have to wait on my Florida stories, but I thought of this while I was gathering facts for the cast. Recently listened to that episode that came out last week of the podcast cast with Seth Milstein that we were on. I kind of forgot about it because they had a bunch of episodes stockpiled from Bridgetown that they had to release once a week. So if you get a chance, check
out
episode 27 of the podcast cast Seth Milstein. It has me and Gatch on there. And we were talking about your dudes chilling.
I don't remember anything.
I didn't either. But you'll remember. It's cool listening to an episode that you don't remember anything of, and then you slowly remember stuff as they talk about it. They asked us, out of you and me, who was the Seth and who was the Dylan?
Oh, yeah.
And then I said something like, well, you're kind of the Dylan because you do all the uploading and all the recording and the mixing, and I just kind of come over and talk for an hour. And then Seth said, well, I kind of thought that I'm kind of the Gatch and you're kind of the Dylan because, or he thought Seth was you because me and Dylan think within the realms of, like, sanity and regularity, whereas you and him are just crazy and just think the weirdest fucking things that you can. That's why he likes the way your mind works.
Yeah, yeah. But also another thing is you and him wear glasses.
And both do stand-up.
Yeah, and Dylan and I don't
both have
glasses.
And he has hearing aids. I fucked his ear pussy hard.
Yeah, he didn't talk about having like a bad ear.
So he has a, yeah, you guys have bad ears, yet you're the engineers.
Yep.
Engine bad ears. You're an engine.
Yeah.
Engine bad ears.
Do you think that would affect me if I went to school for like mixing?
That could be your Indian.
And editing.
Engine bad ears.
Not having both ears to balance out like audio.
Yeah. Me, engine bad ear.
Yep. Yep. Engine ear.
So speaking of the Dudes Chillin' Network, they were talking about how awesome a name of it was and how you came up with it. This is only connected in the fact that it relates to our state and is a top 10 chill cities in America.
Nah.
A quality of life expert said that Seattle topped the list of chill cities. Dude's chilling. So Seattle, check out Dude's Chilling. It's a ranking of the most comfortable places to spend in the summer. Number two, Portland, Oregon.
Oh, yeah. Hipster heaven.
That's right. Followed a close third by gay heaven, San Francisco. Other cities making the cut were Denver, San Jose, California, Buffalo, New York, Salt Lake City, Milwaukee, Detroit, and Pittsburgh,
Detroit.
PA.
Did you hear about Detroit?
No, I'm always hearing something about them guys, though. What'd they do now?
They as a city, declared bankruptcy.
What? Is that backed by the mayor?
Yeah.
The city declared
bankruptcy.
Did they get too much stuff stolen from them or something?
I don't know. I guess that their budget to run their town, I guess, is incapable within their current intake of money.
That's basically how bankruptcy works, I guess, yeah. You know. So they're going to have all that stuff just written off? Is that because that's what bankruptcy does, unless it's taxes or...
Yeah, it depends, I guess, on who they owe.
Because most of the time it just gets written off.
Yeah.
Which I don't even know what that means. You just write it off.
Yeah, I think the company or whatever just claims it on their taxes as a loss.
And then who has to pay for that stuff? Oh, the company never gets their money.
Yeah, probably the cost of doing business.
Well, that sucks. Well, I found one of my Florida stories, and this is kind of funny. I don't know how to pronounce it. Immokalee. Immokalee, Florida.
Uh-huh.
And this is apparently that guy from Twitter's sister, a Florida woman. An intoxicated woman crashed her sport utility vehicle into a tree while allegedly trying to run down her boyfriend.
Wow.
So she came to the house, and she was, like, going around in the yard, like, around in circles.
Uh-huh.
And he came out and was trying to get her out of the yard, and she allegedly tried to run him down. She's 45 years old. She walked away from the vehicle and had trouble balancing, and she smelled strongly of alcohol because he had called the cops on him. So, kind of weird. So she's driving in circles around a tree when he refused to answer the door at 2 a.m., and he went out to confront her, and when she tried to hit him, he moved, and she struck the tree. Her blood alcohol level was 0.259.
That had to be a pretty sharp turn, because if she was going around the tree and then suddenly hit the tree.
Well, she swerved to hit him, and then he moved.
Oh,
apparently,
okay.
Is what it sounds like here. Yeah. And she was charged with aggravated assault. And but 0.259, that's fucking drunk.
That's like three times the legal limit here.
Over, yeah. And there, too, it's 0.08.
Yeah, but you got to give her props for being able to make a hairpin turn around a tree drunk.
And then hit it.
Yeah.
Even though she probably wasn't meaning to hit it.
No.
She may have been.
But, you know, you're not always trying to hit the pin when you're hitting that hole in one either, are you?
That's right.
How's that going for you?
It's going good. I got a hole in one on the first shot of a whole thing. So that's always like tournament starts first hole.
Oh yeah, I got one
start
stroke.
With a hole in one. Mm-hmm. Got a couple 16 unders.
Wow.
The other night, I went back in time to the FedEx Cup, so I've started over back to 2008. And I've noticed whenever I do a golf tournament on my actual wedding day, I don't do that well. Like,
oh,
August
really?
15th, 2008.
You thinking about it in the back of your head?
No. I think the game knows somehow.
Maybe.
Just like it knows when I haven't played for a while, and it makes me play shitty when I'm actually doing great.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Fuckers.
We got to get that luck bumped back up.
The luck bump?
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's like, what are you doing playing golf on your wedding day?
Yeah. Did I put that information into the fucking Wii? No, I don't think I did, but somehow it just knows.
Maybe connected with your Facebook and your Google Plus.
Ooh, but I don't have a
and
Google
all your
Plus.
MySpaces.
Wow.
You know, sad day. Somebody died today.
Who?
John Dellinger.
What?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Today, a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. So, did he not use the Dillinger escape plan as well as he wanted to? What is the story of John Dillinger? I don't really know.
He was very charismatic as a bank robber back in the days, and he was almost kind of like an anti-hero. People, the public liked him because he was so charismatic, and, you know, it was like in the 20s, so there, you know, you had the whole media thing going on with the papers and probably a very early of hyping public figures.
Right.
In that kind of a way. And so he's very endeared, even though he was a bank robber. I don't think he ever really killed anyone, though. But I know that people that were with him probably killed people. But I do believe he was on the run and then was taken down outside somewhere.
Or they thought.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm pretty sure he was gunned down, shot three times, and died right there. And, so,
and he was very notorious as far as like being one of the names that you think of when you think of old-time bank robbers like Jesse James and
certainly
Billy the Kid. And
a little later in time, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I was watching a thing on Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid the other day and the Wild... what were they called? The Wild Bunch or something like that.
Something like that.
And they said what Butch Cassidy brought to the art of that era was having fresh horses along the trail on your getaway plan.
Ah.
So, you know, they would rob a bank and then they would ride till their horses were tired and then they'd always... go there and stash like three horses, maybe even more one location, so that, you know.
Just have them tied up to a tree somewhere a little ways down.
Yeah, or
the trail.
Have somebody there to meet them that they could, you know, pay off or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of an interesting story. Hulu has a lot of interesting discovery and stuff like that to watch. Right on.
Yeah, I haven't been able to be watching any Netflix. I've been watching just stuff that I've recorded on my DVR, but I can't even think of what I've watched lately. I've just been playing golf and listening to music.
ELO?
No, not recently, but that was in my CD player about a month ago, the best of ELO.
Right on. Do you prefer the best of as opposed to one of their single albums?
I don't know, because I don't have any of their single albums. I remember having a tape as a kid that had that Beethoven's Fifth, which was a big hit of theirs.
Hello?
But there's a lot, yeah.
How are you?
His mic wasn't working very good that day.
Been all right?
I was sorry, Hans. I know you love ELO. Yeah, but I've been getting kind of...
Aren't they... They're up there with... They're like friends with UFO, right? UFO, ELO?
Pretty much. They should tour together. For sure. And any other band that ends with O.
Mm-hmm.
LMAFO.
Yep. That would be a trio.
New Blood opening the show for the
or
tour this
Dio.
Year. Yeah. Dio, ELO, and REO.
Skid Row.
And REO Speedwagon.
Yeah.
All the EOs, EO, EIEIEO.
Yeah.
I've been getting sick of seeing everybody's posts about the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman
Jesus
thing.
Jesus Christ,
so,
man.
Know. Sorry to bring it up, but Chris Castles had a good joke on Thursday. He's like, hey, Zimmerman, OJ called. He wants his verdict back.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny. I don't know if he wrote that or not, but it writes itself.
Yeah, it does kind of. It's one of those writes itself.
And
jokes.
People posting stuff about, he's not even white. So what? Doesn't matter if he's half Mexican or fucking whatever or whatever.
It doesn't matter. I mean.
He's guilty of killing a kid, whether he had tattoos and looked like a gangbanger or not.
And, yeah.
I don't even
know. And he kind of looks white, doesn't he?
Yeah. He does. So, he's one of those white-looking Mexicans.
Yeah. So
people think,
you know,
he's a hate crime.
Say, perceived thing, just the same as people say Obama's black. He just, you know, he's not completely
black.
Now,
here's
a question. Black, but he looks black, so people go, ah, black.
If a Mexican kills a black guy, is that still a hate crime, or has it got to be a white guy?
I would think if it was gang-related.
I'm just saying, if a white guy kills a black guy, that's a hate crime.
Yeah,
usually automatically.
In today's society, it's a, it's never an easy situation.
And this whole thing in the news and everybody's posting everything, it's making people post crazy stuff because...
Oh, I'm so glad I'm not there.
Yeah. So this lady who's like, what is she? An associate professor at the University of Pennsylvania's Department of Religious Studies. She said, after the verdict, it shows that God is a white racist who stalks young black men.
So the God is made of 12 jurists?
Yep.
Jury members?
Yep. Huh. As a black woman in a nation that has taken too many pains to remind me that I'm not a white man and I'm not capable of taking care of my reproductive rights or my voting rights, I know this ain't American God, ain't my God. So the,
it goes beyond race to me, though. I mean, it's just a sad story.
She says, as a matter of fact, you know? I think he's a white racist God with a problem. More importantly, he's carrying a gun and stalking young black men. So that is a bold, crazy-ass fucking motherfucking
statement.
There's
no reason to bring God into it.
God is a white racist carrying a gun, stalking young black men.
God has nothing to do with it.
God is not a human.
Somebody made a bad decision.
She also says that Trayvon Martin's killing was brought on by racism that was influenced by Christianity. Da, da, da. Why Christianity?
Yeah, I'm not.
You guys got any thoughts on this? Listen to us.
She wanted to
call us.
Put in religion into the political spectrum there, but I don't know.
541-791-6824.
It's a sad situation. You know, somebody young lost their life over a misunderstanding. Right.
That's right.
I don't know if he was doing anything wrong. I don't know.
Who
that
knows
much of the story? But
he called 911 and said the dude was punching him in the face and attacking him. But the picture of him dead on the ground shows both of his knuckles, and neither one of them are bloody. So there's just all these.
I don't know.
I just read stories, and I don't
know
what's true.
I don't know much about the facts or follow the case. I just know.
Me neither. But if any of you listeners out there know anything about it and have an opinion, call us up. Yeah. It's the hotline subject.
Yeah.
St. Paul, Minnesota, you're on the phone.
It's pretty crazy because I do kind of. I read a couple news articles on about it, about what Obama said about it and things like that. And then you go.
Obama!
And you read the comments on there and you realize, you know, that racism is, there is a lot of ignorant people out there that just kind of think in a very single file way.
That's
you
true.
Know, that they don't, they quickly forget that that guy, what about the guy that, locked up and molested his daughters in the basement? That guy was white.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't. Criminals come in all shapes,
all races.
Yeah,
all race. Yeah, and that reminds me of another thing I recently heard because of the Paula Deen thing, and someone said, "Dude,
Paula Deen,
she's old.
Eagle song.
She's like 60, and she's from the South. She's supposed to be racist. Does that make it okay?
No.
Is it okay for an old person to be racist?
I will tell you that." Going back to the earliest days of survival, mm-hmm. of like, it was, what do they call that? Survival of the fittest.
Yeah.
If you're unable to adapt to your surroundings, you die off.
Right.
And if,
or if you're
you
not
know,
using
so,
your tail, it falls off.
Mm-hmm, and so her people that use that crutch are people that are basically acknowledging that they're unwilling to change or adapt to society as it changes, you know,
right.
And that's like, kind of
that.
I'll
always hate those other people because they have a different color skin.
Yeah. You know, you scratch us all, our skin's all dry.
Yeah.
And the paint comes off.
We all flake off.
Mm-hmm.
We're all flakes. Oh,
what was that? The fact I read the other day about how, 50% or more of the household dust that floats around in your house.
Is skin.
Is dead skin cells.
I know that.
And you lose like a pound and a half a year or something like that.
Yeah.
And I just think, man.
You're inhaling skin.
Dude, oh.
You're inhaling.
That with all the fucking hair.
Van Halen.
Van Halen.
You're Van Halen skin.
Yeah.
Van Halen. Hmm. We came up with a new Van Halen song that should have been written in the 80s or the 70s.
Right then, right there.
Well, that too. There's another one. This one's called Tramp Stamps and Muffin Tops.
Nice. That would have been fun.
I got a Tramp Stamp Muffin Top.
Is that David Lee Roth there?
Yeah, that was a bad David Lee Roth,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Wow!
always struggle because every time I think of Van Halen, I always go, what's my favorite Van Hagar song?
Why?
Just because it's a curiosity to me, because it's like, I don't know if there's even one that I'd be worthy of even saying that, you know? I mean...
Come on, baby. Finish what you started.
No. I did buy that tape.
How do you
as
know
a youngster.
When it's love.
No, I think I'd have to go with...
Pancake.
Best of Both Worlds.
You got the best.
Just because all the others are like
both.
Dreams and Right Here, Right Now. And anything off of OU812 is pretty horrid.
What's your favorite Gary Cherone era Van Halen song?
More than words. The Van Halen.
I wonder if they did that.
Oh, jeez.
Because, you know, they did. When I saw Van Halen, Hagar, they did I Can't Drive 55.
Oh, certainly.
And that other one, There's Only One Way to Rock.
Yeah.
Well, they did Rich.
Heavy metal, right? I would imagine.
Probably. Like
but with Gary Cherone, they were doing...
Get the funk out.
Get the funk out.
Everybody!
That's the only two that I really know.
More than words. Which are two, like, total opposite spectrum songs, and those were hits for him, which is weird.
Oh, man. I was in high school, like...
From one extreme to the next.
When More Than Words was blasted on the radio every fucking where, man.
Yeah.
And people would play it on fucking bus trips. You know, you'd take those high school bus trips... And you'd be on, like, the bus for 4 hours, and somebody would put that in there, and then people would sing along, and it's like, get me off this fucking bus.
Kill me now.
Yeah. Put that in that Nine Inch Nails album again. That was interesting. I haven't heard anything really like that before. That's what I was probably thinking.
Yeah, that was back in the day, though, right?
Yeah, and then we'd put in House of Pain, because they had that one song, Put On Your Shit Kickers and Kick Some Shit, and we'd like to blast that until the teacher would tell us to...
Shit kickers.
To take it off.
Wow, you usually say shit kickers.
There was this kid that was quite picked on in school, and...
He's a shit picker.
And, yeah, he wasn't very socially adept, would that be the thing?
Yeah.
His home life was kind of rough, I think, played a large part in that. But, you know, he wore cowboy boots and stuff, and I remember one time we were leaving P.E. class, and the gym was in a separate building, and we were about ready to walk out the door, and right outside the door there was some dog shit right there, and he kicked it with his boots and said, how's that for some shit kickers?
Ooh.
And I thought that was fucking hilarious.
That was his redeeming moment, huh?
He was a funny dude. He took a lot of stuff, but he was a kid. I mean, his home life was so bad.
How bad was it?
When he was in high school, he couldn't cross the street still.
Yeah. Wow. Without the crossing guard or what? Just
with his parents wouldn't.
Oh. Like, talk about shelter.
Yeah.
Give me sheltered.
Yep.
Get me sheltered.
Yeah. And so... I don't know, you know. I knew a few kids, like, looking back on them and what just seemed like crazy behavior was caused by some, you know, obviously ridiculous demands on the home front. You
sure.
know, seeing a kid cry when he gets 24 out of 25 on a spelling quiz and wins, but still...
My parents are going to kill me.
Yeah. He misspelled popper. He spelled it like a jalapeno popper.
Oh, it's like, did you use it in a sentence?
Yeah.
I think I went from a prince to a popper. No, John Popper is the harmonica player from Blues Traveler.
That might have been a little early.
Oh, wait. Yeah, I guess so. Oh, well. Speaking of shit kickers, today is National Rat Catchers Day. National Rat Catchers Day. I didn't know there was... What's a rat catcher? Is that like a...
It's like a dog catcher.
But like in New York and stuff, they have like rat patrol?
So. Yeah, that makes sense.
Because I remember I thought there was a verbal abuse album called Rat Patrol. Hans? Anything? You were listening to verbal abuse about a month ago. But yeah, it's National Rat Catchers Day, so shout out to all the rat catchers.
Right on.
I haven't seen a good-sized rat in a long time, but my friend Farmer Tape Nose said he caught one from underneath his porch, and it was like this big.
Wow.
With the tail. And you guys can't see that, but that's fucking big. Hmm. It's big for a rat. It looked like a small kitty cat. And while we're on the National Day thing, we'll get to the birthdays today. Great producer who produced the final studio album by Nirvana, Steve Albini from, I think he was in Shellac. Great Chicago
area. What color is his eyes?
Albino. I don't know, but he's 51.
I always think he's an albino.
I don't think he is, but he's a aural albino.
Yeah.
He's like not that black when it comes to music. He's really white. No. He likes to make really noisy, I think Helmet. He produced some early Helmet maybe.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, just the noisy stuff. And that's why In Utero was kind of noisy and it got rejected by the record company at first because of good old Steve Albini.
Oh, man.
He's got some great recording techniques.
I could, you know, I don't listen to Nirvana that much as far as, like, CDs these days very much. But if I put In Utero, man, it takes me right back to fucking 94, man.
Yep, it's an excellent album.
From that very first... yep, right there, bam, instant 1994.
Teenage Angst has paid off well.
Uh-huh.
Yep, that's a great, great album. And he used some weird recording techniques, Steve Albini did... Like miking the bass drum directly and then also putting a couple mics in like opposite corners of the room to catch the ambience of the big bass drum sound. And you can really hear it on that album, the hugeness of the bass drum. He probably didn't even have a head on the outside of it. That's what it sounds like to me. Also, birthday today, I'll let you guess this one if you can. SNL alum David Spade, just shoot me, birthday today. Happy birthday, David Spade. Obviously younger than 51, because I
guess... He's going to take a wild stab, 42.
Yeah, he's a bit older than I thought. He's 49.
Wow.
He's going to be 50 next year, David Spade. Here. All right. All right. That's all I got. No friends
you
of mine have birthdays today, so that's it for birthdays.
Who's pushing, who's now 70... And he says 70 is the new 50 when he did a very almost nude self shot.
Steve Berger.
No. You know, they call them selfies.
I have heard that now. Yes.
Yeah. And selfies. And Geraldo.
He posted a selfie nude?
It was, dude, the towel was pretty fucking low. I mean, you know.
You looked at it?
Well, it was right on the front of the fucking story. And it was him taking a picture in the mirror, just, you know, and it was like, I mean,
is he too sexy for his towel?
He's in good shape for 70, man, I got to say.
All right, say it.
So I did. And but beyond that, it was just weird. That is weird, isn't it?
That is weird. I'm tripping out just kind of trying to think about it because I don't wish that I was thinking about it right now, but whatever.
You ever heard of Vine? You ever Vine?
No.
It's kind of like Twitter.
Mm-mm.
But it's video form.
Oh, no.
So it's like, I think it's 7 seconds max.
7 second videos?
Yeah.
Holy smoke.
But you can edit them. So you could take a longer video and edit, chop it, and so it's like...
On the site?
No, on your camera, I think.
Oh.
On the app, and then you can upload it like that.
Huh.
And I'm going to tell you a little secret right now.
All right, this is a secret, you guys.
It's kind of the new home of amateur porn.
Really? 7 second porn videos, huh?
Of just random chicks just wanting to show off their little stuff, I guess.
Selfies.
Yep.
It's Divine selfies.
Yeah.
It's divine. Hans, you should check that out, buddy.
What's in Hans' CD player?
I don't know.
What's in Hans' CD player?
We're going
CD
old school.
Player?
Original version.
What's in Hans' CD player? We're going to find out today. What's in Hans' CD player? What's in Hans' CD
whoops.
Player? What's in Hansi's CD player? We're going to find out right now.
Yeah, today Hans is listening to some punk rock from up in Seattle area. Zeke.
Right. Oh, nice.
Till the Living End. I want to check that one out. Those guys are longevity in a box. They've been
I know
around
that
forever.
Song, dude. In the Living End.
Little side note.
That's the Living Years.
Yeah, that's something else.
Mike and the Mechanics.
Ooh, well, I
check
like
those guys out, Hans.
Yeah, Mike and the Mechanics. You know who that is. Mike Rutherford from the first band ever, Genesis.
Is that where you came from?
Yeah, right, Mike and the Mechanics. And then my friend Jimmy Lauderdale always says that he knew a Mike and Mechanics song from back in the day that sounds like they changed the word to it. And he doesn't remember the original version, but their version was, "Oh, I like to smoke a lot of pot."
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even, I've tried to find it, can't find it. How did we get on Mike and the Mechanics? And what the, oh, I was talking about Zeke.
Yeah.
Little side note about Zeke back in the day, 1995, that's a few days ago, they were a band just starting out. And a little known punk rock cover band from Portland, Oregon called the Hedgerows got to open for them at the legendary Satyricon.
Wow.
Yep. And they were 1, 2, 3, 4. They've changed over the years to where they're not just 1, 2, 3, 4 punk.
Yeah.
They used to be 1, 2, 3, 4.
A few different incarnations, right?
For sure.
Instant Breakfast. Come on in.
I don't think, yep. Instant Breakfast.
Yeah.
That's. I used to drink the shit out of that.
Really?
Did you know it had shit in it?
I believe it.
Like before school, I would get up and make a Carnation Instant Breakfast. Didn't really fill me up, but it was quicker than like cooking an egg or something like that, you know. So
it's pretty much chocolate, isn't it?
It's chocolate. It's kind of like chocolate milk, but it's more fortified with like vitamins and minerals to get you everything you need for your breakfast. That's why it's called Instant Breakfast.
I have no idea.
Come on, you don't know?
I thought it was just eggs and bacon blended up in a blender.
No, it's chocolate milk, dude. Just add milk, makes its own eggs.
I wanted to talk about a little bit about that Orange is the New Black show.
Okay. Hey, before you get to that.
Well, you didn't throw out your stuff.
I didn't.
Yet.
And very good, big thanks to Hans for burning me a copy of the new Vol.
Oh.
Not V-O-H-L.
Uh-huh.
I messaged the band and said, how do you pronounce it? Is it V-O-H-L or is it pronounced as a word? And he said it rhymes with bowl.
Huh. Vol.
Like to smoke one.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's awesome, dude. It's definitely not, like, I had to keep reminding myself that it was Mike Scheidt on vocals.
Hmm.
That's how different he sounds. Every once in a while, you'll hear a little Yob-influenced vocal thing, but they're, like, at times black metal-ish. A lot of, like, blast beats that start with a bass drum, which aren't like death metal blast beats. Good stuff, though. Check out Vol, self-titled debut on Profound Lore Records.
All right, I will.
All right, now, what about this Orange is the New Black?
Oh, man. I had fun watching the show. 13 episodes long.
In 2 days you watched it, or did it take you a week?
No, I watched the first few episodes one day, and then I took a break and finished it off the other day. So about in 2 or 3 different sessions. But great characterization, great character building, well written.
And this is the Genji...
Yeah, the same people as Weeds.
She's a chick, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
For a long time, I didn't know
that. And it takes place in a woman's prison.
Oh.
So.
Oh, and it's lesbians, huh?
Yeah.
Something to do with lesbians.
Laura Prepon is one of them.
Oh, 70s girl.
Mm-hmm, and.
Is she blonde in this?
No, she's actually brunette.
Okay, because I've seen her as a redhead and a blonde.
Yeah.
And now I will see her as a brunette.
Yeah, yeah. Not bad. I'm not a huge fan of her anyway.
Yeah.
You know, just I was never a big fan of the 70s show. I was kind of anti.
Yeah.
And so I guess I kind of carried that on from that. It just seemed hipster at the time.
I never watched it much, but if I stumble across an episode, I'll find myself laughing. You know,
yeah.
It's kind of funny.
There's funny parts into it, for sure.
A little bit corny, though.
Yeah. I think I felt too mature to find that stuff funny at the time, I guess.
And who's the other big star that you would consider household name besides Laura Prepon? That's in this Orange is the New Black.
Oh, man. I don't honestly, there is some actors who have had quality parts in the past, but I don't know if...
You don't know them by name?
Yeah. Or
cool.
I didn't really recognize them. Oh, shit. I can't think of her name. Another redhead. It's right there on the tip of my tongue.
Spit it out.
No, but it's very well done. It's, you know, just the whole workings of the prison. They got the drama in the kitchen, and there's Jason Biggs. He's
That's right. We talked about that last week.
Jason Biggs
American
plays the boyfriend, and you know. that kind of thing that goes on the outside. And there's a very funny prison guard in there who has a nice porn mustache. It's pretty funny.
That's awesome.
And plays a funny role. I think he's there. There might be a comedian in there somewhere too, like a lady comedian. It's a fun show. It's a fun watch. I had fun with it. I don't know if there will be another season.
Probably depends on the reception.
Certainly, but I think the way it played out, you know, you won't necessarily need it.
Yeah, but if they do it, they'd probably have a new storyline.
Certainly. Well, yeah, it's open for both. You could be happy with the season as itself, or if it continues on as a season, I would be happy too.
That's cool. So the title refers to the jumpsuits in prison being compared to being a black person? No,
I think it's just more like, you know, that whole cliche of one color is the new black, you know.
Because I was thinking, like, if you had been in prison, then maybe you'd be treated as a minority.
Maybe, yeah. There's definitely groups in there. Within the show.
Yeah.
You know, you got the crazies and then the religious meth addict.
Yeah.
Who's like super Jesus freak.
Super Jesus.
Yeah. And each episode kind of goes through a different backstory of one of them, you know, and kind of shows how they got there, and which is interesting too, because, you know, you watch these characters evolve during the episodes, and then when it comes to their kind of episode, you know, you might be surprised on how it all played out and how they got there exactly, and compared to, you know, their persona on the inside.
That's cool. I will definitely check it out once I get my internet back up. I probably won't watch it on my phone, but unless I get one of those big-ass new phones that looks like a half of a iPad or something. But anyway, about time to wrap this sucker up. We'd like to thank you guys for listening on a Monday. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Pizza Now, and we'd like to remind you that we recently lost our main sponsor due to monetary, everyday stuff costs a little bit more.
Yeah.
And so Complete Ag Resolutions no longer putting in the pot. So if you'd like to have a spot on our radio show here, we would love to have you.
Yeah, and we're going to play Bismarcky until you do.
Hit us up for rates. They're really cheap. You can do like $5 an episode.
Not what I need.
Is that Bismarcky?
Yeah.
That song is in so many movies. It's ridiculous.
I always sang it, but you say it's just a rash. You got the disease.
Yep. And if you don't have a business or anything and you just feel like donating because you love our show so much, click on the donate button at tagcastpodcast.com. It'll take you to our PayPal, and you can give us like a buck or 20 or whatever you're feeling generous for. We use all the money that we get back into the show. If anything's extra, we'll buy like a mic or a cord or something like that, some new headphones. So it's not like we're getting rich off this, but we'd love to. So send us your money. Follow us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to our Tumblr. You know, Hans did. He's there.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even like those internets that much.
Yeah. I haven't checked in a while. I wonder if he sent us any comments.
Usually he'll tell me when he texts me what he's listening to if there's something that we need to check out.
But, okay.
He didn't even say anything except for today. He said, rock it. Which could
rock
be,
it. Yeah. Feel a little out of the load. Rock
actually,
it.
I thought he was listening to Def Leppard maybe.
Yeah.
Are you
feeling a little light in the load? Is that what he says after that, Hans? Rocket, yeah, feeling a little light in the load.
Feeling a little light in the load.
Yep.
I think that you're
No, that means
incorrect.
He shit his pants, right? Why would you feel light in the load?
That's why I don't think that's what they say, because it makes no sense. Maybe it's an English thing. You know, they're from the UK.
Yeah.
We're feeling a little light in the load. Mm-hmm. Well, oh, man.
Well, see you Wednesday.
Yeah. We'll see you on hump day. Get out and do some hump, and we'll have a guest. Secret special last time guest ever. So, we'll see you then.
Heck yeah.
Techno.
Rock on.
And Metallica. What? I hate Metallica. Hey, you ever fucked a plug? No, really. hail, you taggots. I know it's hot out, so you should go to some of these air-conditioned places. And plus, it's nighttime, so you're cooled off. Every Friday, comedy at the Baghdad for a couple more months with your host, Tristan Spillman, and some of the best Portland comics, as well as, you know, people from out of Portland, like myself, others. Every second Friday, it's pantsless comedy. It's so hot, we got to keep our pants off. But your host, Mike McGowan, that's a cornucopia in Eugene. And I've been informed that comedy as advertised at the Granary is in transition to become not every last Thursday, but a Saturday night show. So we'll have details for that coming soon. July 25th, Norm MacDonald at Cuthbert Amphitheater. Did I say cunt? Cuthbert Amphitheater. I still don't know much about that show, but if you love Norm, check it out. July 30th, Gigantour with Megadeth, Black Label Society, Device, Newstead, and Hell Yeah! I don't like those guys as much as I like Fuck No. Comcast Arena in Everett, Washington. Yeah, July 30th. August 2nd, Witch Mountain and Blue Oyster Cult at the Benton County Fairgrounds for the Benton County Fair. It's in Corvallis, August 2nd. August 5th, The Sword, Castle, and American Sharks at Hawthorne Theater in Portland. August 8th, it's Doug Benson at the Grand Theater in Salem. Contact Raven's Eye Productions for ticket info. August 8th, it's Foghat at River Rhythms in Albany right here at the Monteith Park Free Foghat Show. Someone was just bragging about the Kansas show the other night. I guess it was pretty good last Thursday. Also, August 8th through 11th, it's Northwestern Black Circle 5 at Bronx in Portland with Witch Haven, Ex Mortis, and Satan's Host the first night. The big names for Friday night's show is Poison Idea, Insanity, and Coven. Friday, you got Ghoul, Gravehill, and Drawn, and Quartered. And then the Sunday night show features Vaughn, Toxic Holocaust, and Ceremonial Castings. That's August 8th through 11th. Tickets are $14 in advance per day, or $16 at the door, or you can get a four-day pass for $52. That's at Bronx in Portland. August 20th, it's Melvin's and Honky at the Wonder Ballroom. That's in Portland, too. August 24th, Black Sabbath at the Gorge Amphitheater. That's up in George, Washington. August 30th, comedy at the Baghdad with myself and six other comics. This will be my final appearance at the Baghdad Theater, and I'm sad to say they won't be doing comedy anymore there. Their last show, I believe, is like September 18th or somewhere around there. So September 8th, it's the Uproar Fest with Alice in Chains and Jane's Addiction and many more. Help 30-pound Test get onto that bill by going to, I don't know, go to their website, 30poundtest.com. Sure, it'll give you information on how to go to the website to vote for them. That's September 8th at the Sleep County Amphitheater. Michael Fronte and Spearhead, October 8th at the McDonald Theater in Eugene. Recently saw him roaming around out there at the dang old country fair with his entourage. A couple other good metal shows coming up in October. Diamond Head and Raven at the Hawthorne Theater. And October 13th, Creator and Overkill, also at Hawthorne. Almost forgot about this. September 13th on a Friday. It's the Comedy Extravaganza at Tiny Tavern, put on by Mac Chase. I will be either featuring or possibly headlining that show. Max Brockman and myself will be performing, as well as some other Eugene area comics. That's on 4th and Blair in Eugene. So check out all those shows. Go do something fun, you guys. Come back and tune in to the TagCast Podcast at tagcastpodcast.com. It's the Terry and Gatch Comedy Show. Get it right. It's on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, everywhere.